Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Miami Vineyard Podcast. We hope this message encourages you, breathes life into you, and helps you experience God's love. Enjoy the message.
Hey, Miami Vineyard, so good to be with you today. So good to be with those of you joining us online. Hey, can we make some noise and welcome in our online Vineyard family? Come on, let's hear it for them. And if you're live with us online right now, don't forget to say hello in the chat. So my name is Kevin. I'm one of the pastors, and let me be the first to officially welcome you to Christmas at the Vineyard. Didn't they do a great job with the decor? This team does a great job every year. If you decorate for Christmas, just your home, trying to do one tree, putting up all these trees and everything everybody did around here, really appreciate it. So I got a question to get started today. How many parents do we have here in the room today? Parents? See your hands of parents, lots of parents. Okay, anybody expecting a baby in the room today? Any expecting in the room today? Okay, look, if you're expecting, or if you're a parent, you know that coming up with a name for your baby is a challenge. There's all these rules that nobody ever tells you about. Like if you ever dated anybody before, ever in your life, you can't ever name the baby that name. If you ever knew anybody before in your family or outside of your family, if you knew anybody that was a little off, a little different, okay, you can't name that name. If you have any relative in the family named with that name, can't name them that name. And then the name has to have the right meaning as well. I mean, some of you have found a name for a baby that was like, you love the name. You just love the name. You love the way it sounded. You wanted to use it. And then you looked up the meaning and you realized it means dog's breath. So you said, nope. I mean, cat's breath would be even worse. But there's all these unwritten rules, right, when it comes to these choosing a name. This weekend, we're kicking off a brand new series that's going to lead us right into Christmas. It's all about names. In fact, we're looking at the four names given to this child that was born at Christmas. Four names given by the great prophet Isaiah, who prophesied 600 years before Jesus was ever born. He writes these words. Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, for he says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. These four names are powerful names. They have tremendous meaning and significance, not just for the names of this baby, but because of the impact they can have on our lives today. We're going to be unpacking each of these names over these next 4 weeks. And listen, I hope you'll make plans right now to join us for all 4 weeks of this series in December. It's going to be a powerful series together. So to get started today, I'd love for you to locate some message notes. Message notes are all virtual. You find them on our Miami Vineyard app. So if you have the app downloaded already, just open the app. If you don't have the app downloaded yet, it's a free download. In the seat backs in front of you, if you're in the room today, you can scan this QR code. It'll just take you right to the app. It's a free download, Miami Vineyard app. Or if you're online or in the room, you can also go to your app store, search Miami Vineyard, find the app that way. And you simply, once you get the app open, tap on this weekend, tap on message notes. This weekend, message notes. This weekend, message notes, and you'll be right there. So today I want to look at the first name that was given to this child, Wonderful Counselor. And if you notice on that, if you have the notes open, if you notice on the notes, you'll see that the Bible, the Old Testament of the Bible is written in Hebrew. So this is where we take the English translation. So it comes from two words, Pele Yatz. First word, Pele, means great soccer player. Just play it. Pele in Hebrew means beyond understanding, too wonderful for words. I wonder if you've ever done something in life or experience something in life that somebody, you tried to tell somebody about it, but you just couldn't quite come up with the words. So, some of you know that I love ice cream. I know I don't look like I love ice cream, but I do. I love ice cream. And so 2 weeks ago, there was a brand new Publix that opened up near our home in Cutler Bay, where we live. And so we thought we'd check out the new Publix, and we show up, it's kind of the grand opening, and they're having all these free samples that they don't always give away, but they're giving free samples. One of them was ice cream. And I looked at my wife, I said, ooh, I'm gonna try that. And it was this new flavor they were introducing for the holidays. You see the picture of it coming up on screen. This new flavor of ice cream coming up for the holidays. Actually, I have one right here with me. It's a marshmallow, candy cane, and cookie blast. Now, those flavors may not be your favorite flavors, but that combination of what they put in this ice cream and the particular of each one, it just hit me right. Oh, I ate that ice cream, that little tiny, they give me that little tiny thing of ice cream. And my wife said, what's the matter with you? I said, I am in an ice cream coma. She said, tell me about it. I said, I can't speak. Listen, Publix isn't paying me, but this ice cream, if you like those flavors, this ice cream was amazing. Now look, I just didn't have the words for it. Now look, I know you can't compare the Savior of the world to ice cream, but the same idea was happening here. Isaiah was trying to get these names for what this baby was going to be, and he couldn't come up with any name. He said, Pele, too wonderful for words. So we just grabbed the word in English, wonderful, 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 and then the next word, yachts. Yachts. That's where we get the name Yahtzee. No, I'm just playing. It's where we get the name. It means to advise, to counsel, to guide. Isaiah saying, 600 years before Jesus ever came, Isaiah saying, look, there's coming a baby. He's going to be born to you. And his name is going to be Pele Yahtzee, wonderful counselor. And I love the way John, the Apostle John, speaks of this baby. Once the baby arrived, look what the Apostle John said. The Word became flesh and moved into the neighborhood. I love that. That's out of the Message paraphrase, that Jesus moved into the neighborhood. You know what this means? It means that he's experienced the same things we have, that he's experienced what you have. He knows what it's like to be a human. He knows what it's like to live. He knows what it's like to experience what we have. He moved into the neighborhood. Sometimes we'll talk to somebody and they'll give us, you know, some advice or some counsel about something, and we just kind of blow it off like, you have no idea what you're talking about because you don't know where I live. Well, Jesus does. He knows exactly where you live. He's experienced what you've experienced. And so when he counsels us, he knows what he's talking about. Because he knows you, he cares for you, he understands exactly what you're going through, and he knows that all of us have issues. All of us have issues. We all do. In fact, why don't you turn to somebody right now, look at them and tell them, you've got issues. Go tell them, you've got issues, you've got issues. Put in the chat with us right now, put in the chat right now, you've got issues, you've got issues. Now look, you don't got to tell them what they are, okay, you've got issues. Some of you have been waiting for a long time to say that to the person you just said that to. But it's true. We've all got issues. I've got issues. You've got issues. We all have got issues. But this is why Jesus came. He came because he's a wonderful counselor. He came to advise us, to counsel us, to guide us. You know, if we took a poll of just this audience right now, in our online family as well, if we took a poll right now, there's all kinds of issues in this place. Some of you, you might be battling depression right now. You wake up every morning and there's a part of you that wonders if you can make it through another day. Some of you are just feeling hopeless about, like, this is ever going to go away. You're battling some depression. Some of it might be anxiety. And it's not just worry. It's the amount of worry you have that just paralyzes you from going through the day. Some of you, it might be stress. December stress. Haven't done any Christmas shopping yet. Some of you, it's finances. And the cost of living in this city is just skyrocketing, and you're just feeling, you are feeling the pinch. You're feeling the stress. Some of you, it could be a family situation. You've got issues in your family. Everybody knows it, but nobody wants to talk about it. You got stuff going on. You got stuff going on. I want to introduce you today to the wonderful counselor. His name is Jesus Christ. And this Jesus wants to bring healing and wholeness and restoration and transformation into our lives. He wants to help us. He wants to counsel us. But if we have to give Jesus an opportunity to do that. So I want to give you today three responses. What kind of response can we have to this wonderful counselor? I'm going to give you three responses today. If you're taking notes, here we go. What are three responses? Here's the first one. Be honest with him. Be honest with him. Because honestly, most of the time, we're not honest. I mean, how many times do we get asked, hey, how you doing? How's it going? And what do we say? Fine, good, todo bien. It's all good. And we know it's not all good. Some of you woke up crying in the morning because you were just overwhelmed with life. And somebody asked you, how's it going? Oh, good, everything's good. And it's not good. We got to be honest. We got to be honest with the counselor. There's a great story in the Bible about this. We find the story in John chapter 4 about a time when there's a woman, where Jesus encounters a woman. Now, this woman she's not unlike most of us. She simply wanted to be loved and wanted to be accepted. And she thought she could find that love and acceptance in a guy, in a man. And so she went from man to man to man to man, marriage to marriage to marriage to marriage, hoping to find what she was looking for. In fact, she was married 5 times and divorced, and now she's with the 6th one, but she's not married to. She's hoping that she just find this meaning. And one day this woman, she went to Starbucks in the middle of the town. Actually, it wasn't Starbucks back in the day, but she went to the place where you could get some water back in the middle of the town, and she bumps into this guy named Jesus. And Jesus begins to have a conversation with her. And before they get too far in the conversation, Jesus says, hey, why don't you go get your husband and come back? Now, she had a choice to be honest in that moment or not. Because living with somebody back in that day and not being married to was not acceptable in the culture. But this is where she finds herself. So she had an opportunity to hide and to not be honest. She could have just changed the subject. She could have said, he's off on a business trip. He's unavailable. She could have said any of those things, but she chose to speak. She chose to be honest. And look what she says. She says, I have no husband. And Jesus says, you're right. You've had 5 husbands, and the man you're living with now isn't your husband. Now, he is not telling her that to condemn her. By the way, Jesus will never speak anything to you to condemn you. That's not what this counselor does. He will speak the truth, but the truth is not to condemn you. Not to condemn you. Instead of condemning her, he offers her life. He offers her wholeness. And if you read the story, Jesus takes the metaphor of the water and says, if you knew who was speaking to you, you would ask for living water, not just this water. And he gives her a way out. He gives her another opportunity. He gives her life. He doesn't use the truth against her. And as I said just a moment ago, he will never use the truth against you. Never. He will help us. He will set us free. And in this case, this woman was set free. So let me ask you kind of a personal question today. What do you need to be honest with Jesus about? Some of you just need to be honest with him about a relationship that's in your life. Maybe it's a coworker, maybe it's a family member, maybe it's somebody you're dating, maybe it's somebody you're married to. Jesus already knows. He just wants us to be honest with him. And any counselor will tell you, listen, I can't help you unless you're honest with me. He just wants us to be honest with him. Maybe it's some kind of habit. And you know, you say to yourself, I can get on top of this, but you know because of experience that you just can't quite do it. It's bigger than you. And Jesus just wants you to be honest about it. Or maybe it's being honest with Jesus about what you think about him. Maybe some of you, Jesus, you're going, I'm just not sure who you are. That's okay. Look, you can be honest with him. Some of you, there's some of you where when you were younger, whether you were a child, whether you were a teenager, whether you're in 20s, whatever it was, when you were younger, you were very sure about Jesus. You were crystal clear about him, who he was, and your relationship with him. But man, a lot of life has happened. Stuff happened you never thought would happen. This happened, things you read, things, and now you got some questions about who Jesus really is. Can I tell you, that's okay. You can have questions. It's okay to have questions. And this is the kind of church where you can have questions. It's okay to have questions. You can be real here because this church is all about real people living real lives, serving a real Jesus. That's what this place is all about. You don't have to pretend here. You can be honest. You can be honest. And I love that about this place. We're just real. Nobody's pretending. We're just real. We're just real. We're all trying to follow Jesus the best we can, trying to figure this thing out. We're real here. And I want to encourage you to come here. But the first step, listen, if this wonderful counselor is going to have any impact on our lives, the first step is to be honest with him. That's number one. Here's number two, if you're taking notes. Listen to his voice. You got to listen to him. Now, there's a very interesting, there's a very wild story that you see in the Bible, happened in the Bible. It's in Mark chapter 9, where Jesus takes his followers up to the top of this mountain, three of his followers, and something very strange happens. I mean, you think Stranger Things is weird, not nearly as weird as this. Jesus gets up to the top of the mountain, and in front of his three disciples, he just changes, and he becomes this translucent, brilliant, all-white, glowing figure. Just changes right before their eyes. Like, he gets this heavenly appearance right there on top of the mountain. And if that's not weird enough, two dead people from the past show up on the mountain with him. Moses and Elijah show up on the mountain as well. So you got these six people on the mountain just kind of like, this is crazy. And then you've got a cloud that descends down upon them. And there's a voice that speaks from the cloud, and it's the voice of God. Now, of all the things the voice could say in that moment, in that crazy, wild moment, what do you think the voice said? You know what God said? Go Dolphins. No, I'm just playing. I don't know. No, we know what the voice said. We know what the voice said. Look at the next verse on your outlines from Mark chapter 9, verse 7. Here's what the voice said. This is my son, whom I love. What's it say next? Listen to him. Let's say that out loud. Ready? Listen to him. Of all the things the voice could have said, he could have said, listen, here's how it's going to go down at the end. Here's the answer to all the questions you've been asking. He could have said, God could have said anything, but he said, listen to him. Listen to him. Listen to my son. Listen to the wonderful counselor. Listen to him. You're going, Pastor Kevin, okay, I want to listen, but how does God speak today? Okay, today there's all kinds of ways that God speaks. I hope you're hearing him speak to you right now through the words that I'm saying. Whoa, time out there, preacher boy. We just time out. Are you saying that God speaks through you as you're talking to us right now? Absolutely I am. And it amazes me to no end. But I know that's how God speaks because I talk to many of you in the hallways. And you go, man, Pastor Kevin, you were talking right to me, dude. You've been living in my house. Like, what is happening? That's God. That's not me. That's God. God speaks that way. Clearly, God speaks that way. So, you know how else God speaks? God speaks through the Bible. This is the best way, the most sure way God speaks is through the Bible. That's why we encourage you to be in the Bible every day, because God speaks through the Bible. You know another way God speaks? God speaks through other people. God speaks to the person you're married to. You're going, not a chance, Pastor Kevin, not a chance. That ain't God speaking. That's the devil speaking. That ain't God speaking. Pastor Kevin, not a chance. I'm telling you, God will use that person. Often the people we're closest to, often the people we don't want to hear from. God will use those people to speak to us. He will use circumstances. He will use pain. He will use thoughts. He will use ideas. We could talk about this for weeks, but let me just say this. Do you know one of the ways that God speaks at this time of the year, more than any other time of the year? You know how God speaks to us? Through songs. Songs. Now, I'm not talking about Rudolph and Frosty and Jingle Bells. I'm talking about these incredible songs, we call them hymns or songs, that have been centuries old. Powerful lyrics in these songs. I'll give you an example. Here's one. God rest ye merry gentlemen, let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power when we have gone astray. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy, comfort and joy. Oh, tidings of comfort and joy. See, there is no tidings of comfort and joy unless the Savior has come to save us from Satan's power. That's a powerful, powerful song. And we hear these songs all the time, just playing. We're out shopping, doing whatever. The songs are playing, and we just let them go in one ear and out the other. These are powerful songs. I mean, that song right there, that is the gospel coming through the speakers at the holiday season. And people just don't even realize it. That's a powerful, powerful song. There's so many songs this time of the year. Oh, Holy Night's another one. Oh, come, Emmanuel. And then there's this one. Oh, come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem. Come and behold him, born the King of angels. Oh, come, let us adore him. Sing it with me. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. Now listen, that song is powerful. That's a worship song. Oh, come, let us adore him. It's a worship song. I hear that song. I worship God every time. I'm in the middle of Marshalls in the men's clothes section. That song comes on. I'm in the middle of Marshalls. And my wife comes to mind and says, what are you doing? I said, the song's on. It's a worship song. Folks, I'm telling you, there's such a powerful display of God in the midst of these holidays. All this stuff that happens. I mean, people just push play on those songs and they make their playlists and stuff like that you hear all the time. They don't even realize what they're playing, but they're playing the gospel message right there. They're playing worship music right there. All over. Some of us. Listen, Christmas can be a really stressful time. Not just with all the stuff we have to do, but relational stress. Just so much stress happens during the holidays. If you've lost a loved one during this season, that memory comes back in just huge ways, almost more than like any other time of the year, because it's just the holidays and the seat is empty and you've got all kinds of stuff happening. There's a lot happening this time of the year. Do you know what we need during this season? We need the Wonderful Counselor. We need Jesus. We need the Wonderful Counselor. That's what we need. That's what we need. So how should I respond to this counselor? Well, first, be honest with him. Second, listen to his voice. And number three, do what he says. Do what he says. Remember, Jesus always has our best interest at heart. Always, always, always. It's always for our good. So when he speaks the truth, he speaks it with love. But it's always for our good. There's a great example of this in the Bible about a guy that comes up to Jesus. Now, this guy that came up to Jesus, man, if you saw him today, he had it all together. Like he had on the surface, he had all together. He had the look. He had the clothes. He had the image. He had the car. He had the house. He had the job. He had it all. He had all this stuff, all these things, all this money. But Jesus knew that he didn't have that stuff. Jesus knew that stuff had him. Do you know that sometimes you don't have stuff, but stuff has you? You don't have money, but money has you? You don't have all these things, but these things have you? Jesus knew that this guy, all these things had him. And so this guy came up to Jesus. And he engages in a conversation. And Jesus had a conversation with this guy. And this guy's saying, Jesus, how do I find life? I want to know what life is. How do I find life? And the Bible says these words, Jesus looked him in the eye and loved him. Because Jesus knew what he was about to say next. This guy needed to hear, but this guy didn't want to hear. But he needed to hear. But when this wonderful counselor speaks to us, he always speaks to us in love. So look what he said to this guy. The guy says, how do I find life? Jesus says, one thing you lack. He says, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Let me clarify, nothing wrong with having wealth. Nothing wrong with having great wealth. Just make sure it doesn't have you. And in this person's case, it had him. And he came to Jesus. He said, Jesus, I want life. I want to know how to find life. Jesus said, in this guy's case, and by the way, this is the only place he ever said this in the Bible. In this guy's case, life for him meant he had to let go of this so he could get something better. Many times in life, we're holding on to something that we need to let go of because God has something better. You got to let go of this because God has something better. When we think this is the better, but God has something better. God has something better. We got to let go because God has something better. Maybe some of you right now, you're in a relationship, you're dating somebody right now. And God might be speaking to you, whispering to you right now. You need to let them go. You know it's not right. You need to let them go because God has something better. Some of you, you're behind financially and you need to downsize. And you know you need to downsize, but you don't want to. You need to let go of this because God has something better. Some of you, a couple of you, you've got a whole second life going on. You've got the church you, and you've got the other you. And your spouse doesn't know, and your kids don't know. You've got another you going on. And the wonderful counselor is asking you today to be honest. And to let that go, because God has something better. God has something better. For some of you, and in fact, I think this is for more than some of you. It's a forgiveness issue. You've had somebody do something to you, say something, do something to you, to your loved ones, somebody in your family, and you just can't let it go. And God is asking you, for your own benefit, not for their benefit, for your benefit, let it go. Because you are staying stuck in the past. You have to let them go because God has something better. But Pastor Kevin, you don't know what they did to me. You're right, I don't. But can I tell you who does? Jesus does. And he knows how you feel. He knows what it's like to be wronged in huge ways. Remember when Jesus hung on a cross? They nailed him, his hands to the cross. They nailed his feet to the cross, and he hung there. And he looked out, and he said, Father, what? Forgive them. Forgive them. Jesus knows the pain you're in. He knows the offense. He knows what happened. He feels your pain. But I'm telling you, there's no way to get to where you want to get to until we release and let go and forgive. You got to let go of this to get that. Because God has something better for you. So I don't know what it might be for you. But whatever it is, you can trust him. He gets where you are. He understands where you live. He knows what you're going through. Look at this verse on your outlines. This one last verse. This high priest of ours, talking about Jesus, he understands our weaknesses, for he faced all the same stuff, temptations and everything else we do, yet he didn't sin. So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it. Would you pray with me right now for just a moment? Maybe you want to bow your heads and close your eyes just to block out distractions, whether you're in the room, online with us right now. Listen, God is here. His presence is here. Many of you are experiencing his presence in this space right now and at your space at home right now. Some of you, you woke up this morning. You experienced something. You say, man, there's something about today. Some of you, you drove into this parking lot and just being in this space, it's your kind of God space. And some of you, during this service, God showed up. And you started having some thoughts, and your heart started having some stuff going on, and you had something going on in your emotions, because it's God. It's the presence of God. God is in this space today, and he's here in this place today. God, I just want to say thank you for being our wonderful counselor. Jesus, thank you that you are our wonderful counselor. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you never stop loving us. Thank you that you want the best for us. Now, as I said, God's best isn't always easy. God's best isn't always easy to hear, but God wants the best for you. And for some of you right now, look, your deal right now is just to be honest with this counselor. Oh, he already knows, but he's waiting for us to be honest. Be honest about some stuff happening in your life. Be honest about this. Be honest about that. Just be honest with the counselor. Because Jesus Christ is here in his presence today. Be honest. Just be honest with him. Just be honest. Tell him. He already knows, but he wants us to be honest. And I says that any counselor will let you know they can't help you unless you're honest with them. So be honest with his counselor. Be honest. Can I also encourage you today? Listen to his voice. Listen to his voice. Some of you, God has been speaking to you for years, and you've known it, but you just haven't done it yet. Can I encourage you today to follow the voice of this wonderful counselor, to step out in faith, to step out in faith, to take a risk, to step out in faith, and trust the counselor that this counselor has your best interest at heart. And some of you today, in fact, can I just encourage all of us, listen, the two best words we can ever say to God are these, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. In fact, you may want to say those words out loud right now. Would you say them out loud? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We say yes to you, Jesus. As we begin this holiday season, this Advent season, we say yes to you. We say yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And some of you, maybe this is the first time in your life where you've said yes, Lord. I just want to invite you into this space and just to follow that lead and say yes, Lord. Say, Jesus, today I'm choosing you. Jesus, today I'm saying yes to you. Jesus, today I'm committing my life to follow you. That's your prayer you're saying today. You're saying, yes, Lord, yes, Lord, yes, Lord. I'm in. I'm all in. Jesus, I want to follow you today. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God, I thank you for what you're doing all over this place today. Online with us right now. Thank you, God, for what you're doing in our hearts and our lives. And I pray this today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for joining in today. If you enjoyed this podcast, we'd love for you to leave a review, subscribe to this channel, and share with a friend. We'd also love the chance to connect with you. You can text the word NEW to 786-705-8930. Again, that's NEW to 786-705-8930. 8930, and we'll give you some next steps with how to plug in and get connected here at Miami Vineyard. We hope you have an amazing week, and thanks again for listening.